All right, hello guys, and welcome to the Tucker Podcast. This is the first episode of my new podcast, which I have been starting. And the plan for this is to go through the Premier League and other leagues around the world each week and review the games that played during the weekend and the matches during the weekend and preview the ones coming up this next weekend. This is episode one of the Tucker Podcast. My name is Tucker Leveroni. I am a teenager going into my senior year of high school. And this is basically the podcast dream that I have always had. I wanted to start podcasting last summer when I created the Tucker Podcast, which I tried to get to start, but just had some difficulties and it didn't work out. But I have created my own sports blog called Tucker's Corner, and basically my own Instagram, which is now around 125 followers. If you would like to follow that, if you enjoy this podcast and want to check out my blog, just go to Instagram, and it is called Tucker Corner. So it'll be at Tucker Corner. So yeah, if you want to give that a follow, I have some posts up there, and then if you click the link in my bio, you can find my blog, which is tuckercorner.blog. So yeah, or tuckerscorner.blog, sorry. So yeah, this is my first episode of Tucker's Corner, and we're going to be talking about the Premier League match week 3 to start the podcast. So yeah, the first game of match week 3 was between Aston Villa and Everton. Aston Villa currently sitting in 16th place versus Everton, who is currently in 12th. And I took some notes about each game, and I'm going to discuss each game and maybe if I thought something should have been different or if another team should have won. And then after I go through the game, I will go through all of the games actually, and then we'll talk about next week's games and some players that I thought were good and some players that I thought were bad in this past week. And then looking forward to next week. And yeah, that's going to be how this will be laid out for the first episode. So our first game, Aston Villa versus Everton, it was the first game of the week. Aston Villa came out in a 4-3-3 formation, which is currently the most popular formation in the current game. So at the moment, most teams seem to be playing with that formation or a variation of it. Everton came out in the 4-2-3-1, so a little more defensive, but also very similar style formation. Instead of having that 8 role, so that center mid kind of dropping into a defensive mid place. So in the 22nd minute, Aston Villa starts the scoring when Jota plays a beautiful ball for Wesley, who finishes it in the bottom left corner with his right foot. It was a very well-worked, quick free kick by Jack Grealish, and Wesley makes a beautiful run off of the center backs, and Jota finds him through, and he finishes it well right into the bottom corner. Just clinical finish from Wesley to get things going for Aston Villa. And then Aston Villa later blocks off a Calvert-Lewin shot off the goal line, which is huge because it would have tied the game at 1. So Aston Villa just holds off Everton. I felt like that was the way this game went a lot of ways. Aston Villa just holding them off and keeping them from scoring pretty much, which is, you know, how it works in this game. It's what you need to do sometimes to win. In the 82nd minute, Iwobi hits a shot off the post with his left foot and comes very close to drawing the game. And then Walcott misses a tap-in for about 8 yards out in the 90th minute over the crossbar. And a great chance for Theo Walcott, one that you think that he would put away for sure, and he doesn't. He misses it over the crossbar in the 90th minute. And then quickly, El Ghazi goes down and scores off the bench on a counterattack in stoppage time to give Aston Villa the win 2-0, and that pretty much just put it away. So Everton led in shots 12-7, but Aston Villa led in shots on goal 3-1. So Aston Villa had three shots on goal, and scored 2 of them. Everton led in possession, And from watching the game, I think Everton controlled it very well, but failed to create shots on target and finish their opportunities. So moving from game one, I think that Everton probably was the better team, but failed to get shots on target and to create real opportunities and finish them. So moving on to Chelsea versus Norwich, just a quick summary on these other games. I went kind of long on that first game, I apologize. But the second game, Chelsea versus Norwich, Chelsea sitting in 13th after it, Norwich in 17th. Tammy Abraham finishes a volley in the 3rd minute, and I thought something that was interesting about that was he ran and embraced Lampard. Kind of shows that their frustration at Chelsea, and that they're kind of sharing it, and it was like a very, like weightlifting goal for them, because Tammy Abraham, missing that penalty in the Super Cup final. Obviously, that was a hard moment for him, and of course, it's been a rocky start for Chelsea in the first few games. So obviously, a lot of stress upon those players, especially Abraham and of course their manager Lampard. Then Timo Pukki plays a through ball, or not through ball, squares the ball across the six to Todd Cantwell, who finishes it in the 6th minute to tie it at 1-1. So they quickly, like 2 minutes later, go down the field and tie the game at 1-1. Cantwell, it was a very passionate celebration. It was the first goal for Norwich, not scored by Pukki, but he does assist it. So he's just been magic. I mean, he has been all over the place. Everything he does, every time he touches the ball, it's interesting, it's exciting. You just don't know what he's going to do next. And, you know, he's scoring a lot of goals. So Timo Pukki has been one of the most exciting players so far in the Premier League. And I think it has to be said that even if Norwich do go down, you could see Pukki maybe staying in the Premier League, you know, or going to a bigger club. But I'd like to see Norwich stay in the Premier League, and I'd like to see Pukki stay in Norwich next year. But let's not think too far ahead. He's playing so well this year, so yeah. Then quickly, Mason Mount makes it 2-1 for Chelsea. And a couple times, Tim Krul did keep Norwich in this game. There was a header, and I can't remember who took it, but it was a fantastic save over the crossbar by Tim Krul. He was lights out at times for Norwich, which he has to be at, you know, with this team. Sometimes him and Pukki, you know, they have to make things happen, and that's what you need in the Premier League, especially the smaller team. You need your big players making big plays. And then just going off of that, Timo Pukki scores in 31st minute and ties it back up. But then in the 69th minute, Tammy Abraham puts it away for good and gives Chelsea the 3-2 victory. So Chelsea led in shots 23-6, and they led almost every single stat with 54% possession. So it has to be said that Chelsea deserved to win this match. I think that Norwich, they play an interesting style of play. Like I think that they're a very good team, and I think that they can be very successful this season. But Timo Pukki is gonna have to stand on his head all year and play really good football for them to be alive, because if he doesn't play well, then they're not going to be very good, because, I mean, he's been a part of every single goal, whether it's scoring it or assisting it, and that's what they need from him, because he is their best player. And but Chelsea's the better team in this way, and I think that they deserve to win this game at the end of the day, and to get the 3 points. Moving on to Brighton versus Southampton. Brighton in 8th after this match, Southampton in 18th. And statistically, this match was very even, but Southampton did manage to get the 2-0 win. Brighton came out in a 3-4-3, an interesting tactic from them, looking for a very attacking style of play in that game. Southampton came out in a 4-2-2-2, a formation that you don't see very often. But Brighton dominated very early. They looked like the better team up until the point that Adone got a red card in the 30th minute. And this really hurt Brighton, because I think that Brighton probably would have gone on to win the match with 11 men. I mean, they just looked like the better squad. Even a lot of times with 10 men, they look like the better squad. And I think that they've been very good at the beginning of the season. Like I said, they're in 8th after that match and they lost. So, as you can tell, they've started very well. Lewis Dunk scored a goal, but it was disallowed. I think there was like a offsides as one of the Brighton players was standing in front of the goalkeeper and kind of influenced the play, I guess you could say. In the 55th minute, Southampton takes the lead. It's a beautiful goal by Gineppo, I think you say his name. It's a brilliant finish into the top right corner, and that gives a 1-0 lead to Southampton. And then Brighton missed the opportunity 86th minute outside the post. It was a very, very close shot, and it really could have changed the game, probably given a point to Brighton, and it would have, split the points. But unfortunately for Brighton, it just wasn't their day, and Southampton goes down the field, and Redmond scores a tap-in, and that pretty much just sums it up. You know, it's a big win for Southampton. I think they're still in, they're still in 18th, so they're still in regulation zone, but it's a huge win, you have to say, for them after losing 2-1 to Liverpool in a game that they could have drawn. That's a huge win for them. So next is Man United and Crystal Palace. Man United had 22 shots and Crystal Palace had 5 in this match, but both teams had 3 on target. That is poor for Man United. I mean, it has to be said, Man United should be putting more on frame. You know, if you have 22 shots in a match, you should be putting at least, I mean, you have to think at least like 10 of those should be on frame. I mean, 3 on frame out of 22 shots is poor. At the end of the day, that's very poor. So, and to only score 1 of those, I mean, you have to do better if you're Man United, one of the top clubs in the world. So in the 32nd minute, IU finishes off of a Lindelof misheader. I thought this was poor defending from Lindelof. I mean, you know, you'll see this occasionally from him. He can slip up a little bit. He can be a little bit inconsistent for Man United back there. And he loses a header. He just loses the header. A one-on-one battle. Can't remember who it was with. He loses the header, and IU is through. 1v1 versus De Gea and slots it home to the near post. It's just poor from Lindelof as a center back. You gotta claim everything in the air, and to lose that, it was at the end of the day one of the reasons that they lost this game. In the 70th minute, though, Rashford misses a penalty off the post, and it has to be said, it was a great penalty, like a great strike. Just very unlucky to miss it, but at the end of the day, you gotta finish penalty. I mean, you have to put it on frame. The keeper guessed the wrong way. Good strike, but it's got to be on frame. Like, if it's not on frame, then you can't score. So, like, if it's not in the target, then you can't score. So why you even, I don't know. It's just a waste. It's a waste. It's the second week in a row that Man United missed a penalty. First was Pogba, and now is Rashford, and it's poor from Man United. But in the 89th minute, they get a lifeline from Daniel James. The youngster scores a beautiful goal with the inside of his right foot. Finesses it into the top right corner, and it has to be said, it's a brilliant finish from him. He's looked very good, and he could be the next Man United big thing here. And I was really impressed with his performance and that goal especially. But in the 93rd minute, Van Aanholt scores for Crystal Palace to win it all, and it was a little bit scuffed. A good counterattack from Crystal Palace after Pogba loses the ball in midfield, and it wasn't the best finish, but it went in, so that's all that matters at the end of the day. 3 points is 3 points, doesn't matter how the ball goes in, as long as it goes in. So it's a win for Crystal Palace, and that's all they can ask for, really. Our next match, West Ham versus Watford. West Ham currently in 14th after match week 3, Watford in 20th, and Watford basically dominated except for shots on target. They only had 3 shots on target while West Ham had 10, but in almost every other stat, Watford looks like the better team, except for the one that matters most. So Noble finishes the PK calmly as he returns to the lineup in the 3rd minute, and it was exactly 15 years to the day after his first senior debut for West Ham. So after he's been gone out of the lineup, he returns to the lineup. It's a PK in the 3rd minute. That man steps up calmly like he's been back in the squad for ages. He steps up, he just takes it brilliantly into the bottom left corner, and just shows why he's so class. And then Gray scores a beautiful finish in the 17th minute, and Hughes misses a tap-in for Watford in the 55th minute. And this was bad. This was one of the you know, most poor moments that I've seen. Just absolutely, like, goal was gaping, like, right in front of him. Easy tap in over the bar on the back post. And I mean, there's just no excuse for missing that at the Premier League level. Really, it's one that, you know, you expect to make at any level, really. But at the Premier League level, it just, you know, in that kind of game where it's close and Watford was just needing a goal. I mean, I know it's early, but you could almost say that's a turning point. That could be a turning point in the season because Watford is last in the Premier League and they need 3 points. 3 points is so big when you're at the bottom of the Premier League. It's big in the league at any point. But early in the season, when you're all the way at the bottom in 20th place, you really need any points you can get. And that's a rough way to not score on the tap-in. So, not a good miss from Hughes in the 55th minute. And then West Ham goes down 9 minutes later and scores with Haller, the new record signing. And he scores his first goal for the club off a tap-in. And Felipe Anderson was beautiful in this play. He was brilliant. He gets through and plays a great ball, picks out Haller, and Haller just doesn't make any mistake about it, just taps it into the net and goes and celebrates his first West Ham goal. In the 73rd minute, West Ham gets another one from Haller, and Haller scores a bike, and it's a close-range bike, but the ball pops up to him, and he just has beautiful improvisation, as I'm pretty sure the commentator stated, and it really was. It was great improvisation. He shifts his body, turns, and he just uses the bicycle kick to put the ball in the net, and that's all that matters. When you're a striker, it doesn't matter how it goes in. When you just try to get the ball in the net any way that you can, and that's what he does. He uses, you know, maybe not, it was a good looking goal, but most importantly, it hits the back of the net. Like I said, a goal is a goal, and at this level, if it hits the back of the net, it's a good goal because you're playing against the top defenders and the top goalkeepers in the world. So Haller really inserts his name into West Ham fans' heads, and really in the Premier League kind of just shows that he's a solid striker, and you know, he gives some hope to West Ham, I think, for the rest of the season. So we go on to Sheffield United versus Leicester City. Sheffield United in 9th, Leicester City in 4th after this one. James Maddison plays a brilliant through ball. I cannot stress how good this through ball was from James Maddison. Plays with the outside of his right foot, and it just perfect. It's early from midfield. Just perfectly picks out Jamie Vardy, who goes on with his left foot and smashes it into the near post in the 38th minute. This was a beautiful goal from Leicester City. This is Leicester City football right there. Winning the tackle in midfield, playing quickly into Jamie Vardy, and he doesn't make any mistake about it. He slams it into the near post. And it was a good finish. It was not just, you know, a lot of times when you score near post, it's, you know, it's scuffed or it barely makes its way in. This one he slammed with intent into the top left corner with his left foot as well. It was well hit from Jamie Vardy. There was nothing the keeper could do about it at all. Sheffield United, though, come back and score in the 62nd minute with Oliver McBurnie. It's a beautiful header into the back post. He flicks it bottom left. And the passion from Sheffield United, you just have to enjoy it. When they score a goal, it means something to them. They're new to the league. It's been 11 years since they've been in the Premier League. So when they score, it means something. It means more. And you just love to see that in the league. You love to see people excited and celebrating. And I was really happy for Sheffield United when they scored this goal, because it was a beautiful goal. And you just love to see you know, teams like that scoring goals. Especially against a top club like Leicester City. But then Harvey Barnes smashes home a thunderous half volley to wrap things up in the 70th minute and give Leicester City the 3 points. I mean, this was a beautiful finish from Harvey Barnes. The ball comes out to him, and on his right foot, makes no mistake about it, just puts his foot through it, and it was pure, it was clean, a great connection, and it looks really good hitting the back of the net. It was one of the goals of the week, I'd have to say. I think it was definitely top three between this, Ashley Barnes, and I think his name was Harry Wilson, I want to say. Harry Wilson. Those were the top three, but I'll reveal later which one was the goal of the week. So, next game that we go to is Liverpool versus Arsenal. This was the I guess you could say premier game of the Premier League, match week 3. It was the game that was, you know, the most important, I guess. You have Liverpool, the number one team in the league, versus Arsenal. At the time was number two, is now number three. And the importance of this doesn't really need to be said that much. It's the top teams. It's two big clubs, two clubs that don't really like each other much, and two clubs that really needed those 3 points. Liverpool can't really afford to drop any points with Man City. I mean, the rivalry and the head-to-head clash that's always going on between those two clubs. Points are as important as always, no matter what time of year it is or how early into the season it is. And Joel Matip gets things started in the 41st minute with a beautiful header. And it just has to be said, Alexander-Arnold is one of the best set-piece specialists in the Premier League. I mean, his crosses, he whips the ball in with pace. So that way when the Liverpool man heads it in, it's with pace. I mean, he puts enough pace on it that all they have to do is just redirect the ball. And he just hits a great ball to Matip. And Matip just makes no mistake about it. Puts it in the back of the net and gives Liverpool the 1-0 lead. And then in the 49th minute, Mo Salah is fouled by David Luiz. This one, there's quote-unquote controversy about it. It's not controversial. It's a penalty. David Luiz grabs Mo Salah's jersey and pulls him back, which makes it harder for Mo Salah to get to the ball. He does get the ball, but by the time he gets there, his angle is obviously, you know, not the same as it would be if he had not been impeded. If David Luiz had just let him go, he would have scored. I mean, we know that. So Mo Salah, he goes, takes a penalty, and makes no mistake about it. Top left corner, hits it hard and true, puts it right in the corner. There's nothing that keeper can do about it. It's a beautiful finish. And, it was a well-taken penalty. I mean, it has to be said, one of his best penalties that I've ever seen him take, if not the best. It doesn't get much better than that at all from Mo Salah. And then in the 58th minute, Mo Salah scores again. He beats David Luiz, who just holds his hands up and lets him go by. Already on a yellow card, trying not to get thrown out of the match. And Mo Salah just goes in and does what Mo Salah does. Takes the ball with pace, goes straight at the goal. No thinking about anything else other than just going to score. I mean, he just runs right at the goal with his left foot. Places it right in the bottom left corner and goes and celebrates. And Torreira scores in the 85th minute. To make the game 3-1, but Liverpool still wins, and they are the only team in the Premier League with 9 points, 3 for 3 after 3 matches. Liverpool had 25 shots with 5 on target, and 9 shots for Arsenal with 3 on target. And Liverpool controlled the match in every single way. I mean, they were just the better team, not just on that day. I think they're just the better team in general. They just looked more overpowering, and right now they're looking probably like one of the most solid teams, if not the most, in the Premier League. They're just, you know, they're looking very good after 3 games. Our next match is Bournemouth versus Man City. Aguero scores to make it 1-0 in the 15th minute. And then Harry Wilson scores my goal of the week in stoppage time before halftime in the 45th plus 3 minutes, so 48th minute, I guess you could say. And it is a beautiful free kick over the wall, goes right into the top right corner and goes around the side netting. It is a well-taken free kick with the left foot, just gets around it, wraps that ball into the top corner, and it's one of the top shots, or one of the top goals that we've seen all year, and it is definitely the best of this week. Like I said, Ashley Barnes and Harvey Barnes both contended for that, but I have to give it to Harry Wilson. It was a beautiful free kick, and the importance of it was huge right before halftime to tie the match against Man City. It's huge. And then Sterling and Aguero both get second half goals for Man City to close out the game. And the pass from David Silva to Raheem Sterling, was beautiful. It's perfectly threaded through. Sterling's touch was great off his thigh and just pokes it past the goalkeeper. And it was an absolutely beautiful pass from David Silva. I mean, it was just well-taken pass, driven hard, and he just slips it through such a small window. I mean, it was a beautiful pass and a beautiful finish from Raheem Sterling. And, I mean, he didn't have his best game, but you know what? if you, you know, you take one shot all game or you touch the ball one time, but if it's a goal, it's still a good game, you know. All you need is just one, and it changes your whole performance around. So I thought he didn't have his best match, but it was good considering the fact that he scored. You know, that's all. That's his job, is to score goals, and he did it. So it's a good match if he does that. Newcastle surprised Tottenham here. Newcastle currently in 19th place, which is second to last. But they do get a win over 7th place Tottenham. And at that time, I believe Tottenham was in like 3rd or 4th. And so Newcastle scores early with Joel Linton and as their new record signing in the 27th minute. And they hang on to win 1-0. Tottenham had their chances. They had every chance at goal. But Newcastle just plays the old classic score a goal early and park the bus tactic. And it worked, you know. Joel Linton finishes brilliantly on his left foot in the 27th minute. And Newcastle just does what they need to do to win. And that's how it works. You just do what you got to do to win the game. And then finally, our last game of match week 3 is Wolves versus Burnley. And this ends in a draw, 1-1. Ashley Barnes hits a beautiful volley for his 4th goal of the season. After 3 matches, he's playing so well. It's in the 13th minute. It's a right-footed volley right into the bottom left corner. It's well taken. And then Raul Jimenez ties it up in the 90th minute with a PK to tie the game 1-1. So Burnley is in 6th place after 3 matches, and Wolves is in 15th. So that is our match. That is match week 3. That is where we are right now in the league. And right now, Man City and Liverpool obviously are the favorites to win the league. But there are some teams that could surprise everyone. And I think that Man United has to get their stuff together. Same with Arsenal and Tottenham. If they want to even push these other teams. Same with Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea won, but it wasn't a super convincing win over Norwich. And, you know, that's how their season's been so far. It hasn't been great. So, yep. I will talk to you guys after the break. All right, welcome back. This is another part of the show. And I like to call this the best and worst. So this is the best and worst of match week 3 right here. So my best player, my top performer of match week 3 is going to be Mo Salah. So Mo Salah had 2 goals for Liverpool and helped them get the win over Arsenal. And already their biggest match, their biggest test at the top of the table of the season so far, the 2019-2020 season. And Mo Salah was great. I thought he controlled the game, he attacked, he got a goal, and he created opportunities, and that's what you want him to do. You want him to get as close to the goal as possible, because when he's close to the goal, he's lethal, and he's quick, he's hard to catch, and he showed that, and he was great. And then my worst player of the week has to be David Luiz, and I hate to pick 2 players from the same match, but they were just black and white. They were opposites, they were polars, because David Luiz had such a poor game. Should have defended better. Couldn't keep up with Mo Salah. Obviously, he fouled him in the box and got a yellow card, which led to him finishing his first goal as a PK. And then the second one, he just lets him go by and avoids getting a second yellow. But in reality, he should have been in position to make the play in the first place. He puts himself in a situation where he has to decide between fouling and letting him go. He lets him go. He pays for it. Mo Salah goes and scores and makes it 3-0. He was poor. He did not defend well. And that is why he is my worst of match week 3. He also did not cover well on that Joel Matip goal. I think he was a part of it. He was grabbing jerseys and stuff in the box. I just thought he was terrible overall in that match. Some other great players, though, I thought from week 3, I thought that IU was good. I thought that Tammy Abraham was good. He was obviously in my mind for maybe being, you know, the player of the week as well. Aguero was good. James Maddison was very good. Harvey Barnes was good. Jamie Vardy was good. I think that Joe Linton was good. Ashley Barnes was good. Pookie was good again, of course. Harry Wilson had a beautiful strike, like I said. That's about it. I think that those are the players that I thought were very, very good. I'm probably missing someone. But Azaha was all right. The Redmond was all right. I thought Grealish was okay. He had times where he was good. A few times where he turned the ball over a little bit too much, I think. And I think Pogba was poor for Man United. I think Man United in general was pretty poor on Saturday, except for maybe Daniel James scoring that goal. But I think Man United in general was pretty poor this past weekend. And there's no excuse to losing to Crystal Palace. I know that they're a Premier League side, and this is a league where anything can happen, but the amount of chances that they had, the amount of shots that they had, and their conversion on those shots, just poor. You got to be doing better at this level of play. So yeah, that's my best and worst of week three. The final segment of the show today, thank you to you guys who have stuck around. So this final segment, I will be looking at match week four and making my predictions. So the first match of match week four is going to be Southampton versus Man United. Now, Man United likes to surprise us here. They really do. They like to make us think that they're going to win, and they make it think like, oh, it's Man United, easy choice, Man United, quick, boom, done. But they like to surprise us. Now, I am going to pick Man United to win this match. But if Southampton wins, you know what? It wouldn't be the most surprising thing at this point. Man United's been pretty bad. So I'm going to pick Man United to win this match 7:30 a.m. on Saturday. But honestly, at this point, anything can happen. And Southampton, maybe they'll have a little bit of confidence coming off that win. But I think that Man United's going to have something to play for on Saturday, and they're going to have to win this game. And I believe that they will. Our next match is going to be Crystal Palace versus Aston Villa. And I'm going to go with Aston Villa. Both teams won last week, but I think that Aston Villa has enough in the bag. Jota, Wesley, Grealish, I think that they will win against Crystal Palace. I think Crystal Palace, I don't think Crystal Palace was that great against Man United. I just think Man United was that bad defending. Both the goals that they gave up were terrible. And obviously, like I said, their finishing was terrible. So I think Aston Villa will win this match. Chelsea versus Sheffield United. So this one honestly could go either way. I think it's going to be close, for sure. I think it's going to be close. Because I don't think Chelsea's just going to come in and smack Sheffield United. Not even close. Sheffield United, every single game they've been in has been close. And they've been very, very good so far. Very good. They've been exciting. Like I said, they put a lot of passion. And everything means more for Sheffield United because they haven't been there before. You know, so it just means a lot to them and their supporters. And I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to say Sheffield United wins 2-1. It's going to be a late goal. And yeah, Sheffield United is going to get the win over Chelsea. I know it's not the most, it's not what most people would pick, but I'm going to go with Sheffield United. Newcastle versus Watford. This one is between the two worst teams in the league right now. And both of these teams really need this game. I think that this is important for confidence. Newcastle wins this, two wins in a row would be huge for them. I am going to say Newcastle is going to win this one. Yeah, I think Newcastle did enough last week, and I think that's pretty much what's going to be like this week. I think that Watford probably has a better team, but for some reason I'm thinking that Joe Linton is going to score again, and Newcastle is going to win. I'm going to go with Newcastle to win. All right, Man City versus Brighton. I think this one's going to be closer than it'll look on paper. I think most people would say, oh, Man City, done, boom. But I think Man City's going to win, yes, but I think it'll be pretty close. Especially with Brighton having 11 men again. I think Brighton was better than Southampton most of the game. But the fact that they only had 10 men hurt them at the end of the day. It hurts you when you only have 10 men. I'm going to go with Man City, though, to win. Our next match, West Ham versus Norwich City. I'm going to go with Norwich. I'm going to say Pookie's going to go have a good match and score 2 goals. And, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to say that Norwich beats West Ham. And I could be wrong. I Maybe I will be wrong. Probably will be because that's how football is, but I'm going to go with Norwich winning. All right, our next match is Leicester versus Bournemouth. I'm going to go with Leicester. I think they were very good, especially James Maddison, Jamie Vardy, like I said, and, of course, Harvey Barnes. I thought they looked pretty good in their last match, and I'm going to pick them to win again over Bournemouth. But I thought Bournemouth looked pretty good against Man City, actually. I thought Bournemouth was the better team at times, just a bit unlucky with some of the goals that they gave up and a bit of soft defending, I would say. I think that their defending was not good enough at times. But you know what? I'm going to go with Leicester to win this one. All right, Liverpool versus Burnley. It's just hard to pick anyone over Liverpool at this point. But Burnley, Ashley Barnes has been great. You never know what could happen. Burnley's been good, and I think they're in sixth place right now, so they're probably feeling pretty good about themselves. But I'm going to pick Liverpool to win this one. All right, Everton versus Wolves. And honestly, I wasn't impressed with either one. I've been impressed this past week with either team. Wolves, I think they didn't really deserve a draw, to be honest, with Burnley. I thought Burnley was a better squad. And Everton, losing to Aston Villa the way they did was not good. And so I'm going to say that Everton's going to win, but it could go either way. I could also see Wolves winning, but neither team played well. I mean, this past week it was bad from both. So, honestly, both teams could use a win right now, but I am going to say Everton's going to win this one. All right, and then the final game of match week 4, my final prediction, Arsenal versus Tottenham. Now, this is going to be an exciting one, actually. So, we have Tottenham coming off a loss versus Newcastle and Arsenal coming off a loss versus Liverpool. So, I want to say Tottenham. I want to say Tottenham should win this game. I think Harry Kane has to be better. I was one of the people that I forgot to say that should have been better, I think, was Harry Kane. He didn't really get a lot of opportunities, didn't really create a lot of opportunities. And I wasn't very impressed with him in the past match. But I wasn't very impressed with David Luiz either at all. So that's why I'm going to say that Tottenham's going to win. David Luiz plays anything like the way he did against Tottenham, then Harry Kane should expose him and win. I think Tottenham's going to win this one, but both teams could use this one. I mean, this one would be a big win for whoever gets it. And yeah, I'm going to say Tottenham's going to get it, but I could see Arsenal winning as well. That one's going to be an interesting match for sure. So some interesting matches. I think that the closest ones will be, or the best looking ones on paper, would be Arsenal-Tottenham, Burnley versus Liverpool, Chelsea versus Sheffield United, and Leicester versus Bournemouth could be a pretty good one as well. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Tucker's Corner podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know and follow me on Instagram and up here, and tune in for episode 2 as well, where we will review match week 4. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next week.